Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We are back at it again tonight, helping you repair and update your home without breaking the bank. It's another do-it-yourself segment, but we're also telling you what you can and cannot do on your own. My guest is Aisha Bryant, home improvement expert and manager of Ace Hardware Stores. Lines are open. If you have a comment, if you have a question about repairing your home, updating your home, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at H Fisher, WHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Aisha, how are you?
I'm just fine, Harold. How are you?
It is good to hear your voice. I'm just ready for you to just throw it out there with all of the expertise that you've always shared with us. And I know our listeners are going to have a lot of questions for you as well. So let's get started. Where should we start when it comes to home repairs now that, winter is over, spring has sprung, even though the weather is still a little weird right now?
Absolutely. There are a few things that are essential for you to do getting ready for the spring, but I'll start with some things that you should maybe try to do on your own and some things you should definitely hire a pro for.
Okay.
So a lot of people may have some leaks in some bathrooms or some kitchens, and, pipes are tricky, but sometimes there are just some easy tightening mechanisms that you can use in order to tighten just a slip nut or a P-trap. But anything behind the wall, you want to definitely call a professional to do.
Wait a minute. Okay, here we go. Flip nut and P-trap. Sounds like something I put in my cereal.
Exactly. And for those who aren't familiar with those terms, you would be more inclined to definitely call a professional. There are several companies throughout the DMV that can help you with those. And then there are a lot of just contractors that can come over, or your local handyman that can come by and kind of walk you through those things. I think the mistake a lot of people make, they turn to the YouTubes of the world and see that it seems very simple and could turn something from a very simple fix to a catastrophe where, you're getting a small leak or a small drip and you may end up flooding an area that, was very unexpected.
Speaking of leaks and drips, beyond the obvious, is this the time to walk through your house where there may be some exposed pipes and take a look?
Absolutely. We're going from, in this area, a rather mild, to an extent, winter. We had some definite times where there was a lot of snow, not what we were accustomed to 2 to 3 years ago when, the entire city shut down. But there were some areas where a lot of water may have sat, and so that could then cause mold in basements. So you want to kind of walk areas where you are familiar with having had that problem in the winter, and make sure there is no mold. And that can cost you at the most $10 to get a mold test kit and go through those areas that you may have had some water that was standing in some areas, and most of the time this is going to be in your basement. You also want to check, the roof. And I say that with bated breath, because if you're not comfortable on a ladder or even a step stool, then that is one of those situations where you would definitely call a professional, and they could come out and they can put their professional touch on it.
Something to think about. Okay, so let us assume that you are comfortable looking at your roof. If you are on a ladder, I would say probably the best thing to do is, even if you're on the ladder, but stay off the roof itself. Mm-hmm. But what should you look for if you have an opportunity to just you know, put a bird's eye view on your roof?
So you want to look for algae or dark streaks in on your roof, and that could be a simple fix of a little bit of bleach, a little bit of water. Spray that on with, and that can be as simple as a pump sprayer from your local hardware store. Spray that on, let it sit for 10, 15, 20 minutes, and then you're going to rinse it off. And when I use the term rinse off, I don't mean go and get a bucket of water from your pitcher. You're going to need to use a water hose that has some pressure to it, and you are going to need to pressure wash that. I don't suggest scrubbing it yourself because that, in turn, could cause, you know, some other damage. But just a simple pressure wash to that area. Also, you want to look at your gutters. You want to make sure those are clear of debris. You can pour water into the gutter after you have cleared the debris to make sure that the water flows through the gutters and down your downspout so that when the rain does come, as the spring we will encounter some rain, that the rain will flow and that it won't have pockets of water on your roof that could cause further damage.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are doing it ourselves tonight, trying to make sure that you keep your home well restored and repaired. We're going to talk about the things that you can and cannot do. So if you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call right now at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. How do you know if your roof needs to be repaired?
Well, there's some sure signs. Obviously, if there is a leak coming from any of the ceilings at the highest level of your home, then that indicates that there's some roof damage. There, as I said before, if there's some dark areas, if those dark areas get coated more and more, the roof will weaken, and that can also cause some significant problems for the homeowner. But if at any point you see a ceiling in your home that has some brown areas that have dried or that water is actually coming through, you want to absolutely call a professional, because a lot of times those start with just a leak and then can form into some sort of electrical problem. And so you don't want to get yourself involved in attempting to fix something that you don't have a clue as to where it's coming from.
Well, our callers are coming in now. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about do-it-yourself home repairs, things you can and things you cannot do. We're trying to keep you from breaking the bank. Let's go to Vivian. Hey, Vivian, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I wanted to change a light switch in my bathroom. It's a fan in there that was put in there, and when they put the fan in, they didn't put a separate switch. So I needed two switches in there, one for the fan and one for the light. And I went to Home Depot, and they told me what to do, but my significant other don't want me to mess with it. But I'm a handy person, so...
Oh my goodness. more relationship counseling when it comes to home repairs. So what do you suggest, you know, for her, Aisha? And I'm not talking about the relationship counseling, I'm talking about the light switch.
Absolutely. I am not in that realm of expertise for sure. As far as replacing a light switch, it can be a simple project. The most important thing to do first when you're dealing with electrical and something as simple as changing a light switch is to turn the power off. So you need to actually know where your breaker box is. So, and you need to know which breaker is on that specific channel as far as that fuse and those lights. So if you aren't familiar with where your breaker box is and you don't know which breaker, absolutely call a professional. This could be a very simple task. All you need is a pair of pliers, a screwdriver, and the wires are of the same color, but you definitely need to turn the power off first because you don't want to run into a situation where you harm yourself based on, you know, electrocuting yourself at the very least. But that is something that is very simple for you to replace.
Okay,
because I know where the breaker is. I also brought a tool to tell you if you got some power in that spot. So I'm fine with it. It's just him.
Vivian, I'm going to tell you, it's always him. Whatever the problem, it's always him. So, Vivian, thank you. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about do-it-yourself home repairs, home improvement without breaking the bank, what you can and what you cannot do. Lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kevin, turn your radio down for me, Kevin, if you don't mind. Calling from Maryland, what's on your mind?
319.
Kevin, are you there?
319. Yeah, I'm here.
Turn your radio down, please, and go right ahead.
Okay, she mentioned about pipes behind the wall, and I'm not sure exactly who I should call to handle something like that. I'm getting a leak in my basement, and I don't know where it's coming from. We've already had our roof inspected, and it's not coming from the roof. So if she could give me some leads to who I can call for a situation like that.
Now, let me start by saying to all of the viewers, I do not promote one business over the other. Obviously, you watch television, I'm quite sure, Kevin, and Michael and Sons is a very reputable company that could come out and take a look at things like that. Also, Roto-Rooter is another commercial type of company that could do some things like that. I have not had any specific instances where I have used either of those companies specifically, but those would be some of the first steps. When looking inside a wall, a lot of that has to do with they would have to literally cut open your drywall to see what is behind it. You can tell from a moisture reader, as I said before, where the moisture is coming from. So that would be my first step, to go to just your local hardware store and get a moisture reader to find out where in the walls that leak may be coming from. But this is definitely a situation where it's not a do-it-yourself. It is to call a professional, a plumber, specifically, that could come out and assess that for you.
Kevin, I have some questions for you, too. I'm not an expert, obviously, but I have had some adventurous experiences with pipes in my home. How old is your home?
Oh, man, it's probably about 40 years old.
About
in an old home.
Okay, about 40 years old. You probably still have copper pipes, though, if you have a 40-year-old home. Where are you seeing the water or water damage?
As soon as you come down the steps into the basement, that's where we always get a heavy dampness in the carpet. So we know it's leaking from that area.
But so above where the carpet is wet or damp, is the ceiling showing any kind of damage?
Somewhat, yes, it is. Yes.
I think it's probably safe to assume that where that ceiling damage is above your head that is causing wetness on the carpet, that's probably where it is. I will tell you, like Aisha said, that, you know, whoever you call, if you have a, you know, home warranty, for example, you know, you call them, they'll open up that area, and or, you know, you have to call a plumber. Just, you know, be aware that, and this is the thing, and I think Aisha will will also co-sign on this. Make sure you ask questions, as many questions as you can, before they come to your house. You know, tell them, you know, just like you're telling us, ask them how much it's going to cost for you to come out, because most plumbing services, they are plumbers. But once they open up that ceiling or that wall, just remember that even if they are able to repair it, that you have to, you know, pay for what they call access. So if they have to open up a whole space, then even if they repair it, you've got to hire somebody else to put the drywall up and the paint and all of that. And one other thing too, and the listeners know, I talk about this all the time. I have an older home. My house is 83 years old. I have galvanized steel plumbing. That's what they were doing back in the 1930s. Okay. My house has been mostly repiped with copper pipe. If there is a hole in the galvanized steel, you can't cut it out and stick copper. You can't insert a piece of copper there. You got to take out the whole pipe. Expensive, mm-hmm. but definitely necessary. So good luck to you, Kevin. All right. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about do-it-yourself or not, trying to make sure that you don't break the bank while you're trying to restore and repair your home. So, Aisha, you mentioned before, oh, my goodness, I got to take a break. I just realized, I just looked at the time. When we come back, Aisha, we're going to hear from you some more. We're also going to hear from a home improvement expert who's going to have a little bit of advice. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Do it yourself. Don't break the bank. Make sure that you restore and repair your home. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues on Sirius XM, Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our weekly do-it-yourself segment, Repair and Care of Your Home Without Breaking the Bank. My guest is Aisha Bryant, home improvement expert and manager of Ace Hardware Stores. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, Aisha, I was going to say, you mentioned some things that you can do, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But talk to us about some other things that you just cannot do.
So there's always a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. Replacing a door, you should hire someone. Fixing a sticky, window, you should hire someone. Installing molding, crown molding, or even trim, you should hire someone. But things like, and this may sound more complex, but things like trying to regrout some tile, that's something you can do yourself. It's a very common thing that many homeowners have to do based on the fact that obviously your tile is going to be in your shower and you hopefully take multiple showers throughout the week. And so things like that get cleaned a lot. And so it's going to have some wear and tear. But those are things that's something that you could do yourself. Patching a hole in some drywall. If the hole is less significant than something with a, something that a doorknob would hit, you could definitely do that yourself. It's not something that would be too difficult. But when it comes to, plumbing, as we talked to Kevin about, when it comes to electrical, which we talked to the first customer about, the first caller about, you want to definitely tread very lightly and ask for help. A lot of your insight, Harold, as far as asking those questions That is very, very important because you don't want to walk down a road where you there is no light. So you have no idea what's going on. You want to ask questions. How much does this cost? What exactly will take place? Is this included in my homeowner's insurance? Things like that seem very simple and very matter of fact, but making sure that you ask those questions and get those answers is very, very important.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Cheryl, calling from Baltimore. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. And your guests, thank you so much. My roof I got when I bought my house, it was brand new 20 years ago. Every time there's like a heavy rain with wind, I see a lot of those tiles that will just fly off. And recently I saw that. I could see it from one across the street. So I could see some of them were missing. And lo and behold, they were in my yard. I have a guy who can just patch those up. But I've been hearing commercials saying if your roof is 20 years or older, you should replace the whole thing. Your thoughts on that, Aisha?
That's going to be a situation where you get a consultation. So what you see flapping is called a shingle. And so if those are flapping, what is used to actually make that bond is now not bonding anymore. And after 20 years, it's just like your skin. You know, you go out to the beach and you put sunscreen on so you don't burn. You don't put anything on the roof so it doesn't burn. So after 20 years, it's got a lot of, a lot of sunburn. And at this point, someone needs to go up, assess those areas, and make sure it's not a simple fix of one or two shingles, but an entire replacement. And there are a lot of different types of shingles that are on the market now that can help with situations like yours.
Yeah. And the other thing, Cheryl, about shingles also, your house is 20 years old, so you probably have more modern shingles. Again, you know, old house Harold, I have slate shingles. Mm. I have what is called a 100-year roof. I've seen, not a lot, but when I've seen over the years one or two, you know, come off, when they come off, you don't need to be standing around because it's like rocks, you know, falling off, you know, coming off the roof. But those obviously would be much, much more expensive. But again, with anything, when you're calling a contractor, it's just like going to the doctor. You want to get a second or even a third opinion to make sure that you keep as much money in your pocket as possible.
Didn't have a a drain in your basement, a sub pump, when I bought the house. Mm-hmm. And my basement back door has a drain that's been covered with gravel and dirt. I guess it just fell in. So now whenever it rains really hard for like 24 hours, that will come over that step and into my basement. I've called several people, and it is expensive because they're saying that I need a French drain around my entire house. I'm at the end of the unit.
Yes.
It's very expensive. Yeah. So what is there a quick fix for that?
Aisha, can I help her with that?
Absolutely, because I was going to say, I don't know of a quick fix.
Yeah,
Carol definitely...
Yeah, there isn't. And the other thing is, I live in Baltimore too, and I have a French drain. And the reason is there a cover? Is there an awning over that area where the drain is?
Mm-hmm.
Is there?
I did that as a quick fix about 10 years ago.
Yeah, and but the problem is that before you fixed it, the dirt and the grime and everything else. Yeah, in Baltimore, there are lots of French drains. Those drains just go straight down into the aquifer or what have you. Unfortunately, that is going to be to fix your French drain, it's going to be, a little costly. But you may want to check your homeowner's insurance and find out.
Oh, yeah, good idea. Yeah. I called last week. I'm the painter who likes to paint the house.
Yes, indeed.
Therapy.
Yeah, because you're supposed to be coming to my house to paint. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to leave my number.
No, I'm kidding. Anyway, good luck to you, Cheryl. Good luck. Thank you so much. 202-3... My goodness. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Is this Simmons or Simons from Brandywine?
Simmons.
How are you, Simmons? What's on
I'm
your
okay.
mind?
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing just fine.
That's good. Hey, look, I have a leak in my in my walls, in my air conditioning, and I was wondering, is there any way that I can detect it so I could already have it out for the guys when they come in to fix it? And I know where that would be cheaper.
Is it a window air conditioner?
No. It's not a window air conditioner. It's a regular. It's my outside unit.
Oh, I see.
I have a leak in the line.
Oh, I see. Aisha?
So you're going to need to call an HVAC specialist. Because they're
going to
be able
that.
To,
Yeah, Aubrey did that, and I know that's how I know that it's in the line. It's not in the unit itself.
Okay. Did they give you any suggestions on what to do next?
No, well, he was saying that, because what even, like, the last 2 years, I've just been putting Freon in it, and they say it's a slow leak. And you know, they're saying that it might go out tomorrow, or it might be 4 or 5 years from now before it actually go all the way out. And, you know, so, and then I have a home social, I have a warranty thing, and I want to should I let them know before they come out to expect it for the summer? Should I let them know, or just let them, when they come out, let them find out?
You should definitely let them know all the information you have before they come out, because they may bring the proper tools to be able to fix it. Now, there is something called an overflow that has like a drip pan. And so if that overflows, that could be where that leak is being caused from, or the cause of the leak. And there could also be the fact that because it's so hot outside, those coils are going to sweat. And so that could also be what is going on as far as that leak that you're experiencing with the line. But definitely call them, let them know all of the work that you have gotten done previously, because you don't want to have someone come out and do the very same thing that you paid for previously, charge you for that, and then also charge you to repair it. But I would say now is the perfect time to do that before we hit those hot summer months, end of May, you know, June, July, when it gets really, really hot here. Right now, you can be okay with running a fan counterclockwise, you know, having the windows open during the day to kind of heat the home when it's you know, not as hot, but I would definitely suggest calling someone and letting them know what's going on.
Okay, then. Thank
All right,
you.
Simmons, be careful. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're helping you do it yourself for your home, restoring, repairing without breaking the bank, telling you what you can and perhaps should not do to make sure you save some money. I want to go back to two things. First of all, the caller who talked about replacing a light switch. Dimmer switches, are all lights, are they dimmable? Or should you have a specific kind of light bulb for dimmer switches?
So there are dimmable bulbs that will need a dimmer switch, but all in all, you need some sort of apparatus that allows the bulb to dim.
Right.
But you have to have a dimmable bulb in order to use a dimmer switch. When you talk about the interior of the home, that's where those things lie. Now, on the outside of the home, a lot of people use either a motion-detected sort of light, or they use something that is a dusk-to-dawn light. And you can put almost any light there. It doesn't have to be dimmable. It doesn't necessarily have to be dusk-to-dawn, because a lot of local hardware stores and your larger hardware stores sell an actual piece that you can attach to the light in order for that to work for you. So inside the home, definitely the right type of bulb, the right type of dimmer switch. Outside, there is an actual accessory that you can use to put on the light. Mm.
The other thing I wanted to ask about, for people who have large attics and they want to put insulation there. I've seen in many hardware stores you can buy rolls of insulation and go up in your attic and put it down. But then you also see commercials where they talk about companies that do that as well. Is putting insulation in an attic difficult? And what about removing the insulation that is there if it's old, rolled insulation?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of larger hardware stores allow you to rent a blower that blows the insulation into the attic. As far as removing and dealing with your attic space, mm-hmm. if you want to remove the insulation, that will be another thing that you would want a professional to do, because there are certain things that you may not be ready for when it comes to an attic. So critters, bugs, mice, raccoons, anything of that could possibly do you harm, that would be something that you call a professional for. They come in, they assess it. But I would definitely not say, let's just do this ourselves. Now, if you're moving into a new home, a little bit different of a situation, because obviously there have been some inspections that have been done to make sure those things are up to par. But if you start to experience areas in your home that it's hard to cool, that were easy to cool before, if there are places in your home that you feel that the walls are warmer than what they would typically be, those are situations where you should definitely call someone to kind of assess that for you.
Let's talk a little bit about some outside stuff. Decks, for example. If you have a wooden deck there are just so many things that can happen with wooden deck. You know, the little green stuff. If you have an older deck, and let's assume that it is still sturdy. How should you clean your deck, first and foremost?
So you can go just about anywhere and rent a pressure washer. And so there is always a pre-mixed or concentrate that is very close to those areas where you can rent a pressure washer, and you're going to use that to pressure wash. It really depends on what is currently on the deck. So if we're dealing with a deck that has previously been stained with oil, meaning there is stain that was either rolled or brushed on, the oil seeps into the wood. And if you were to cut that piece of wood in half, you would be able to see where the oil has gone and soaked into that wood.
Mm-hmm.
That would need to be pressure washed. And the only way to restore that or change the color of that is to reapply that very same type of oil to refresh it. Or you can use something called a solid paint. And the solid paint is a solid deck stain. And so there's a tiny bit of oil in it, but it looks a lot like paint, rolls on just like paint. And you have the opportunity with a solid deck stain to change that to any color that you want, because it's going to act just like paint and go right over top over atop a oil stain. But once you go through an oil stain and you do that to the deck, you either have to stay at that particular color or you're going to have to go darker. But definitely step one is to make sure that you pressure wash it, make sure there are no rusty nails or any loose nails, any rotted wood, because the winter that we experienced, we had a lot of snow that could have sat for some time. We had ice that could have sat on that wood for some time, and the wood did not dry out appropriately, or the wood was older, and it has just gotten to a point where it has rotted. So those things would need to actually be replaced.
You mentioned algae on the roof. There are times when I may be driving through various and sundry communities, and usually I see this on later model homes that may be anywhere from 5 to 20 years old, where they have, is that algae on the broad side of the house? This green stuff.
Yes, that's going to be a moth, and that could a lot of that could be from the winds that we get. So some of that is pollen, but oftentimes in the spring, the best thing to do is to get the entire home pressure washed, the exterior of the home pressure washed, so that it can have a bright look for the summer. And you know where there may be some areas that need another coat of paint.
Okay. What about wrought iron railings for that may encircle a porch or steps coming up the concrete steps of your home? If there are spots of rust, should you call somebody to do that, or is that something that you can do yourself?
You could definitely do that yourself. So the thing that will get rust off of any product or any specific area that I have had very good luck with is something called navel jelly, and navel jelly will remove the rust. On a wrought iron railing, you will need a wire brush, and you're going to, this is going to act as a sanding sponge or a sander, and it's going to smooth that out. And then you would use an oil-based exterior paint. Rust-Oleum makes a very good oil-based exterior paint. And after you have put the navel jelly on, follow the directions from the navel jelly, wipe that off, use your wire brush to kind of get all of that residue off, clean those railings, let them dry. You would brush on that Rust-Oleum exterior. It's going to have a glossy finish to it, so that means it's going to have some shine to it, and it will definitely renew it. But the major thing for most of us to pay attention to is cleaning. Any project that you undertake in your home, from painting to removing a particular plumbing part or anything in your home that you are removing, the most important part is to make sure that area is clean before you put anything else atop of it. Because most items, as far as paint, and stain, there is a bonding agent that is in these products that if that surface is dirty, the bonding agent doesn't do its job and it won't adhere to that particular surface. So it needs to be clean, and it also needs to be dry in order for something like that to work.
You mentioned a wire brush. Mm-hmm. Would it be better to use some kind of electric tool? That sounds like a lot of elbow grease.
Yeah, there are actual accessories that if you have a basic drill that you use, and that means like a 20-volt drill, there are accessories or attachments that you can attach to the drill that have a wire brush connected to them, and you can make, you know, that process a lot easier if you are not inclined to get a bicep workout, for sure.
I guess not. And which brings me to yet another question. You mentioned drills, and I want to talk about that and even more broadly, you know, tools. Right now, as you know, there are people who are buying, you know, their first homes and the like, and they don't have tools, but they want to purchase tools. What are the top handful of tools, electric or otherwise, that you would recommend that someone buy to have around the house? And how do you select electric tools? Let's go with your basics first. What should you have?
So you should definitely have a cordless drill. And a cordless drill will allow you to bore holes in the wall, and it will also allow you to tighten screws. I have a lot of people that come to me every day and say, hey, I just need a real simple, cheap screwdriver that I can, like, tighten. And the first question I ask is, are you going to put any holes in the wall? And for most people who buy new homes, they want to hang pictures. Mm-hmm. And so in order to hang a picture, you're going to definitely have to put a hole in the wall. So you need a 18 to 20-volt cordless drill. And when I say cordless, that means there is no cord that is coming out the back of it, because those are few and far between, and you don't want to have to lug an extension cord throughout your house. And these have a external battery that you put on a charger, and you use it when you need it. The battery life is really good on things like that. You need a hammer. Everyone needs a hammer in order to pull out nails or nail something into the wall. You also need a basic socket set. Now, it depends on what type of shopper you are based on what type of sockets that you need. There are standard and there are metric. So if you are a shopper that shops at IKEA for all of your items, obviously that is a Swedish company. And so most, if not all, of their items are going to be run on a metric system. And so you're going to need metric sockets and metric wrenches for things like that. Things that are made in the United States typically use standard. So you've got standard and metric that you can decide on a socket set and a basic wrench set. You are going to possibly need a bit set. And by bits, these are going to be the items that go into the drill in order for you to put holes in your wall of different sizes. The basic sets typically have about 4 to 6 different sizes of drill bits that you can put into the wall. And then it also has different types of bits that are used for a flathead or a Phillips head. But those sets usually come in no more than 18 pieces is what you need to start. And I would say that's going to be the basics of what you will need to start. So the cordless drill, the hammer, and the socket and wrench set will be where you should start. And also get a bag. A lot of people buy all these items and have nowhere to put it. And if you get you a tool bag or a toolbox, you can start something that will allow you to pass that on maybe to someone else or pass it on to your children. I know that a lot of my friends now have the toolbox that their father gave them, and now they're using a lot of those items. So it's good to have somewhere to keep the product.
You know, when I bought my house, my real estate agent actually gave me a gift, and it was really one of the most thoughtful things. And just for listeners out there who may know of someone who is buying their, you know, first house, she gave me one of those flat tool cases. It was heavy duty plastic, and it had little flaps on it that kind of locked. And when you open it was double the size, and you had all of these tools in it. It had socket wrenches, and it had different kinds of screwdrivers, and it had a tape measure, and and that was just one of the most wonderfully helpful gifts I had ever received. I still use it, and to your point, it was given to me 20 years ago. I'm still using it today. And I guess the best thing about it is, short of a bag, as you were talking about, once I finished using one particular tool, I put it back exactly in the pre-molded area where it belongs. And I've never lost a piece. I mean, it was just a really wonderful, wonderful gift. And they're not that expensive.
No, no, not at all. I mean, all of those products that I suggested, could you could get all of that for between $100 and $150. The set that you are speaking of specifically, those can run you from, you know, as little as $25 to $50. It definitely depends on what your need is and what your skill is. Another thing that came to mind as you were speaking, obviously the tape measure, but a leveler. People don't typically, a lot of people think, oh, if I just have, you know, if I step back and I look at it. Oh, yeah, that's centered. But the leveler is a very cheap and inexpensive item to add to your toolbox that could definitely help you with not having having to turn your head every time you want to take a look at your TV.
Oh, and one other thing too. What are those things that find you put them on the wall?
A stud finder.
Talk to me real quick about that.
So the most stud finders or all stud finders actually are electronic. So they either have a light or they beep, and so you hold it to the wall because behind your drywall there are wooden studs or metal studs, and so it's looking for that wooden or metal stud so that can be used as an anchoring piece to hold something on the wall that might be a little heavier that may need to have itself braced differently. But honestly, if you don't have a stud finder, finding the right anchor, making sure that you pay attention to how much weight that particular anchor can hold. But there are several different products that you can use, but definitely having a stud finder is helpful.
Wow. Aisha Bryant, it is always such a pleasure to have you on the program. You are so full of great information. So thank you so very, very much. I appreciate your time.
No problem.
That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. For this Thursday, April 8th, I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.